Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 6, I would invite you to follow along as I read these words aloud. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he or she sows. The one who sows to please their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. Let us not become weary in doing good. Just ask us a question this morning. Any of us here a little tired this morning? Yeah. I wonder what our answer would be if we actually asked that question 24 hours from now after we all stay up late to ring in the new year. Yes, who likes to stay up late? I don't see me. Oh, I see the kids are raising. Kids are raising their hands. They're excited about tonight. All right, we're going to be extra tired tomorrow if you stay up late. But I would imagine maybe some of us, you know, just based on the response we already had, as you smiled and chuckled a little bit, some of us are maybe dragging a little bit in our steps today. Maybe the eyelids are a little heavy this morning, or you know, we don't quite have that same pep that we normally typically have when we're coming in. For some of us, we're coming to the end of a long week. Yes, you know, we had the week off, but that meant many, many miles driven and many family obligations attended to. Or we didn't maybe have the week off. Maybe we had Monday off, and then it was just like a regular old week, the grind of another work week. Or maybe some of us, we had those helpful little friends at home this week. It's been a long week. We're tired. Or we're coming to the end of a long season. I mean, how many times did we name here at Westview during the season of Advent, that whole season leading up to Christmas, not only the spiritual ramifications of yearning and anticipation and expectation and longing, but also what is the most wonderful time of the year? We said many times is the most hectic and expensive time of the year as we try to do all the things all the time. And we're at the end of just a long year. Whether it's been for some of us health-wise or job-wise or school-wise or work-wise or whatever-wise we want to end to something, we've encountered a lot of different things. And it feels like, doesn't it feel like Thanksgiving, let alone January, was a lifetime ago? It was just on Friday, Heather and I were talking, and I said, Christmas Eve feels like a long time ago. And so perhaps we would say that we're tired. I mean, it's no wonder, especially at this time of the year, on the last day of the year, that the old year is often depicted as this crooked old man, right, who's kind of stooped over with a long white beard, who appears to be nearing his end, worn down, tired, fatigued. And the new year then is often depicted as this chubby little baby with full of vibrant joy and a countenance that's fresh and vibrant. And as I was thinking about that and looking at some pictures, I ran across this particular picture. Let's throw this picture up on the screen. And my attention was caught by this for a couple of reasons. Obviously, you have the old man year, and you see what he's doing. He's like carrying the weight of the world. And it's almost as if he's passing it down to the new year. And I'm not sure if you can see it from where you're at or not, but do you see the sash that's around the midsection there of the new year? Do you see what year is on there? 1909. And my sophomore year of high school world history class is failing me right now because I do not know what sort of traumatic events took place in 1908 that would feel like the weight of the world is being passed. But in honesty, couldn't every year be written on that sash? That every year has its recorded times of hardships and traumatic things that happen and all of that goes into the record books. And some of us, we might be coming to this day feeling like the same old man year that you see in this picture where perhaps we have felt the weight of the world upon our shoulders and we're tired and exhausted and worn out and drained. We're weary. Weary, that's the word that Paul uses here in verse 9. Paul's charge, Paul's challenge to us and for us at the end of a long week, a long season, at the end of this year, he says, let us not become weary in doing good. Now, the word here for weary really has nothing to do with a physical weariness. This is not the kind of weary that I'm familiar with, where you want to throw your alarm clock across the room and hit snooze for 2 hours. You want to just snuggle up underneath the blankets like I wanted to do this morning and yesterday morning and the morning before that. I'm sure I'll want to do tomorrow morning as well. Anybody relate to that? That's not the same kind of weary that this word is here. The word here for weary is about, it means to lose heart. It means to fail in holding fast or holding strong. It means to become discouraged, to give up. Let us not become weary. Paul is urging you and me, let us not become discouraged. Let us not fail in our holding strong. Let us not give up in our efforts to do good. This is the word of encouragement that I need today. You too? Even yesterday, I had one of those little moments, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I had to come and prep this sermon. Thank you, Lord. I need this encouragement today. Let us not become weary in doing good. And the good that Paul is talking about here and what he wants us to remain steadfast in is to sow seed. Jump to verse 7. Every Bible's open. Look at verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he or she sows. We reap what we sow. Some of you, like me, come from a farming background. I grew up on a small dairy farm up in northwest Iowa, and if you stood at the end of our driveway and you turned 360 degrees in a circle, you would see fields all around. The dairy is long gone, but my dad still farms those fields. And if in the spring my dad decided to plant corn in the field across the road, it would be ridiculous for him to expect in the fall to harvest soybeans from that same field. Yes? And in the same way, if my dad decided to change some of the settings on the planter and to spread out the seeds to be twice as far planted into the ground, it would be ridiculous for my dad then in the fall to expect the same high yields as if it had been planted normally. A person reaps what he or she sows. And to expect any different is to deceive ourselves. That's the word that Paul uses here. To expect any different is a mocking of God. The word there for mocking means to like stick up your nose almost like in a sneering fashion. That if I put in X and I expect God then to give me Y, Paul says, don't fool yourself into thinking that this is how God operates. God cannot be thought of in this sort of way. God cannot be sneered at as if we should deserve to reap something different than we've sown. Think of a naturally gifted athlete who just steps on the court and they just excel at what they do. But if that athlete does not attend off-season workouts, and that athlete does not spend time in the gym honing their ability, and that athlete does not lift, and that athlete only goes half-hearted at practice, and that athlete is critical and criticizes their teammates, how can that athlete then go to the coach and say, "Coach, why aren't you playing me anymore?" A person reaps what he or she sows. That's the point Paul is making here. We reap what we sow. So friends, let me ask us this morning, what good have we sown in this past year? What harvest do we think we will reap? Or what harvest will we actually reap? Paul urges us, let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. He's saying, sow the seeds. Don't lose heart in sowing the good seeds, because you will reap a good, wonderful harvest if you keep on keeping on. Friends, what seeds are we sowing? What sowing are we doing? In this passage, I think we find three, I think we'll call them fields, that Paul is encouraging us to sow seeds here. The first field we find is found in the first verse we read, verse 6. Look there with me. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with their instructor. Now, as I first read that, it kind of sounds like people are supposed to share good things with their instructor. You know, the person who stands up here behind the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, who delivers those powerful, winsome, life-transforming sermons every week, that they're supposed to, those who receive the instruction are supposed to share good things with that person. Not one giggle, thank you. How does that sound to you? Because if you know me at all, I about threw up in my mouth even saying that. I do not like thinking about those sorts of things or talking about those sorts of things. In fact, I looked at that verse, I'm like, okay, what is that really saying here? So you look at the Greek and you look at other translations, and I found this other translation that for me was super helpful in better understanding what this verse is saying. The NRSV is another very reputable translation, one that's used in academic circles, and it says it this way. It says verse 6 like this: those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. In other words, there's a mutual sharing that is taking place in this verse. A mutual sharing from the good things that come from being taught the word. That the instructor and the instructee are both delighting together in what is coming from the word, which is the main point of this verse. Don't miss that part of the verse. Being instructed in the word. The sowing, the good sowing, is devoting ourselves to receiving instruction, devoting ourselves to learning from the word of God. And that can look like all sorts of different things. That could be our personal devotions. It could be a Bible reading plan. It could be something as simple as coming week after week to worship and doing what we're doing right now. The week after week, we spend time reading and studying and talking about God's word together. It can be something as intensive as memorizing Scripture, or it can be as simple as devoting ourselves to bringing our personal Bibles, the ones we are most familiar with at home, bringing them to worship with us. It could be attending a Bible study, attending small group, BSF, or listening to a Bible podcast, or anything else that helps us invest in the Word of God. And then keeping with this verse, we receive that instruction and we share it. We share what we're learning. We share what God is teaching us. What new and exciting things that are being revealed to us through the Spirit of God as we dig into God's work. This, God's work, this is the work of sowing good seeds. Friends, let me ask us this morning, what seeds have we sown this past year when it comes to receiving instruction in the Word? If I can just share personally for a moment, the last 16 months or so, I have been able to be committed into an accountability partnership with a friend. And we both read the same scripture passage, or we watch a Bible teaching on the passage we just read, and then we just shoot each other a quick text message. And all we do is we say, here's something I learned, or here's something I observed, or here's something that stuck out to me. Super simple. And for the last 16 months, it's been a way for me to sow seed into receiving instruction in God's Word. It's been super helpful for me to receive that instruction in the Word of God from a personal level rather than from my job. It's a way of sowing seed in the Word of God. And so, friends, what seeds have we been sowing when it comes to digging into God's Word? Or perhaps a better question for us to ask this morning is, what seeds will we sow in this next year when it comes to digging into and receiving instruction in the Word of God? That's the first field. The second field is this, is something we're going to call Christ-likeness. This comes from verse 8. Look at verse 8 with me, please. The one who sows to their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what Paul is saying here, there's these two sources, these two ways that we can sow seed. And one way that we can sow is to sow towards our sinful nature. You know, to coddle those desires that we have, those wants that we have, to pander to the things that we think we need, to do everything possible to make sure that we are taken care of, to take care of numero uno, that we are getting what we want all the time, to sow seed in that sinful nature. And according to Paul, that leads to destruction. It leads to a corruption of who we are. And friends, be careful, because this does not always happen quickly. In fact, that destruction rarely happens quickly. It's often a slow fade, a wearing away. There's a couple examples. You know, we want to be careful. We want to be mindful of who we are allowing to speak into our life, who we are spending that time with, who are allowing to speak into who we are, right? And I'm always going to be an advocate. Friends, as followers of Jesus, we ought to have friends that are both Christians, but also friends that are non-Christians. We want to be a witness into this world. We don't want to just bunker down. But be very careful. If only the people we hang out with, only the people we're associating with have a fundamentally different value set than we do, that the foundation of who they are is very different than who we are, we need to be careful that if that's all we ever do and that they're the only ones that speak into us, sooner or later we realize that maybe our own behavior and our own attitudes and our own language and so forth begins to look like someone else's. Or be careful about the, you know, just the music we listen to. You know, I see this more and more and more all the time. You see these things, these white things just sticking in people's ears all the time? Right? Those AirPods? What's the music that we're listening to? And what are the not-so-subliminal messages that those lyrics are saying to us about things like substance abuse or about how to treat another person or how to value another person of the opposite sex of us? And after a while, we listen to this over and over again, and we can begin to change how we view our own bodies and how we view the bodies of another. And just two very simple examples of if we're only surrounding our things, if we're seeking to sow seed, and it's always about the something that is outside of our own value system, how it can be a slow fade. And Paul says leads to destruction. And Paul says there's another place, another source of where to sow seed. He says, if we sow to please the Spirit. Now, in Galatians 5, which is the chapter right before our passage, in fact, just a couple of verses before ours, In chapter 5, Paul talks about the way of the Spirit, called the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and sowing seeds with this at heart. To sow in this way is the way that pleases the Spirit. And when we sow in the fruit of the Spirit, then we reap a harvest of righteousness. We reap a harvest of holiness. We reap a harvest of which we are then living like and being shaped all the more and more like the image of Jesus. So friends, the question is, what seeds are we sowing that is towards Christ-likeness? In our walks with Jesus, in our walks of becoming more and more like Jesus. With that in mind, there's a commentator, his name is John Stott. I really appreciate what he writes. And he says this. He says that harvest, you know, of our own Christ-likeness, the harvest we reap depends on where and on what we sow. We are not helpless victims of our nature, our temperament, our environment. On the contrary, what we become depends largely on how we behave. Our character is shaped by our conduct. And he goes on to say this, how can we expect to reap the fruit of the Spirit if we do not sow in the field of the Spirit? Says the old adage is true. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Friends, where have we been sowing this past year when it comes to our character, to our integrity, to our Christ-likeness, our righteousness? Or again, perhaps the more important question for us to ask today is simply, where will we sow seeds in this year ahead with regards to our Christ-likeness? That's the second field. Here's the third field. The third field that Paul names where we want to sow good seed is what we're going to call the field of community. Look at verse 10 with me, please. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, right smack dab in the middle of that verse, he says, do good to all people. That's pretty all-encompassing, yes? Does not need a lot of explanation. And I don't want to dismiss that in any way. Our sowing of good seed into the community must extend wide, outside of these walls, into this local and into this global community. But Paul makes this very interesting comment at the end of the verse. Did you see that? He says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, or in other words, to the church, to the household of faith. Now, I, for one, am always wanting to push the church, wanting to push us as Christians, because naturally we do a little internal work. We do a little navel gazing. So I'm one who is always wanting to push us outside, to look beyond ourselves. But I appreciate what Paul says here as well. Because when we're thinking about sowing seeds in our community, sowing seeds of transformation, that the sowing seeds has to start here, because the harvest has to start here. And if we are a harvest, when we reap a harvest of good community transformation here in this place, in this community, then we can all the better go out and plant seeds and sow seeds into this community that God so loves. And friends, if we can't sow seeds here, if we're not able to invest and sow seeds in this community, which ought to be the safest place, which ought to be the most encouraging place for us to sow seeds, how then can we expect to go and invest and sow seeds into this world? And so let me be very short to the point. Friends, what seeds have we been sowing here in our local community of faith? How have we invested this past year in the ministry life of Westview? What gifts have we shared? What time have we given? What offerings of blessings have we supplied? I think it's very wise for us. It's always wise for us that when we're in a community setting like this, that before we comment, before we critique, before we complain about oh, this ministry is not what we want it to be, or oh, this is not as good as it should be, or oh, it's better over here, or better over there. Before we do that, I think it's always wise for us, before we measure the success or lack of success of some ministry fruit, of some harvest that's happening here, I think it's always wise for us to first assess our own sowing. What sowing have we done at Westview this past year? Paul says that these seeds of doing good in this community are to happen. Do you see the phrase, as we have opportunity? Now that word there for opportunity, that's actually one of the great Greek words. We've talked about it in other places as well, but never quite in this context. It's the Greek word kairos. We often translate it as time, but it's different than time than minutes and seconds and hours. It's appointed time. It's the right time. And so when Paul says here, as we have opportunity, what he's not saying is when I look at my Google calendar and I can find an empty spot here late Thursday afternoon. It's about when God is calling. When God is reaching out and saying, I'm asking you, I'm appointing you at this time, I'm calling you to sow seed at this right time, at this appointed time. As we have opportunity, do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Paul actually uses the word kairos another time in this passage. Jump up to verse 9. When he says, do not get weary, because he says, at the proper time, kairos time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That proper time is kairos time, which tells us that in God's timing, the harvest will come. Now, believe me, trust me, I know it can be frustrating when things do not happen as quickly as we would want them to, especially in the church. Believe me, trust me, I know. I am fully aware of those areas in ministry life that we want to continue to work on, that we can improve upon, that we can take greater strides in. If you know me at all, you know I'm aware of them, and I would like to have had them fixed not 3 days ago, but 3 years ago. But when he says proper time, that reminds me, and maybe it reminds you this morning, that God in His kairos timing, coupled with our faithful sowing in those opportune times, God will bring about a good harvest. That's not to condone when things are less than ideal. But we live in such an instant gratification society. If things are not fixed immediately, we cast it aside. For example, one more sports illustration. You know I'm a sports person. One more sports illustration for this year. This past year, back on January 26th of this year, the Carolina Panthers, it's a football team in the NFL, they hired a man named Frank Reich to be their head coach. Frank Reich was a star quarterback in college. He was a backup quarterback for many years in the NFL, had some great moments. He had been a coach with quarterbacks, with offensive coordinating, and he had head coaching experience in the NFL. So they hired him to be their coach. On April 27, 3 months later, the Carolina Panthers, with the very first pick in the NFL draft, means they could pick any player they wanted. They picked a quarterback. A quarterback a first pick that they had traded a good player for, they had traded picks for, they picked this rookie quarterback to be their quarterback. On September 10, that rookie quarterback made his very first start in the NFL. And on November 27, the team fired Frank Reich after the team started 1-10 with, again, a rookie quarterback. He made it 10 months in one day. Kairos time emphasizes the importance of not losing heart, not giving up, even if we do not see change and transformation as quickly as we would hope. There's another commentator, also named John. John Brown says it this way. I think this speaks into what the Panthers are doing and what sometimes we do in the church. He says, Christians frequently act like children. We can just put a period there. That's the name of my book, by the way. No, Christians frequently act like children in reference to the harvest. They would sow and reap in the same day. Thing is, we aren't even told what the harvest is going to be. Paul does not say what the harvest is here. We might have visions of what the harvest is going to be. Maybe we have a vision of a huge worship center with filled with people, or maybe we have a vision of a harvest of an annual mission trip overseas, or a harvest in which every single person is involved in a small group, or a harvest where we have a youth ministry center, or whatever the vision is, we have these ideas of what the harvest will be. But we don't know what the harvest that God will bring about through our faithful seed sowing. But again, going back to John Stott, he says this, the patient doing of good in the church always produces good results. Can we have that next quote up there on the screen for them, please? The patient doing of good in the church always produces good results. When we, at opportune times, listen and we hear and feel the call of God and respond to that call, the patient, faithful doing of good always results in good, always produces good. And so when we faithfully sow seeds, we might not know what the harvest is, but if we faithfully sow seeds in community transformation, there might be times of comfort or of assurance or of relief in the life of somebody, and we might not even hear about it. When we sow seeds of community transformation, it might lead someone who is down the path of sowing in the sinful nature, but they come and they confess and they repent of their sins. A sinner turns to Jesus, and then they go attend a different church for worship. We maybe sow good seeds and we want to invest in young leaders and then they go and they move to a different community or to a different church and they bring transformation there. Or we maybe sow good seeds and what that does is it results in a marriage in which there's greater sacrificial love between the spouses. Or maybe just one, two, three people at a time, it slows the ebb and the wearing away of the morals of our community that are falling apart. Or maybe what it does is it raises the standards of how we respect and how we treat one another. Or maybe when we sow those seeds, it can be something altogether different. Who are we to know what the harvest is? Ours is to sow seeds. Paul doesn't get specific. He says, do good to all people. Especially here within the community of the faith. So let me just ask us again. What seeds have we sown here this past year at Westview? Or again, maybe the better question is this, what seeds will we sow in the year ahead in which we will do good in this community and then through this community into this great world so loved by God? Paul says, a person reaps what he or she sows. At the end of the year, right? This is the very last day of the year. It's pretty common to reflect, natural to reflect on what was. Right? Yesterday I just read this article, the 49 top sports moments of the year. It was a long article. But it's one of many articles, right, of reflecting on what has been. And so on this last day of 2023, what I'd love for you to do, just pause just for a moment. And to ask yourself, where did I sow seed? Where did I sow seed? What field did I sow seed in? What kind of seed did I sow? And what harvest is being reaped because of my sowing? But more so, what I want us to do this morning is to give us opportunity to consider the following. In what ways will I sow good seed in 2024 in my learning from God's Word? In what ways will I sow good seed in 2024 when it comes to my Christ-likeness? In what ways will I sow good seed in 2024 as I invest in my faith community called Westview? What I want to do is we're just going to take a moment here. We're just going to pause and let the quiet stillness fill this space. And I want to invite you just to reflect on those questions. Just to think about and reflect. How is God, what opportune times is God offering to me? How will I sow good seed? And as you consider that here, just for a moment, let me remind you, let me encourage you with these words. Let us not become weary of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Let's take a moment, just pause and reflect on those questions today. Faithful God, as we spend a few moments both reflecting on the past, but more so imagining and considering what opportunities are before us, we are so grateful that you are a God, past, present, and future. And that as we have sung throughout the season, Emmanuel, we live with that gift of the meaning of that name, that you have been with us and you are with us and you will be with us. God, we give thanks this morning for the ways that you have been faithful to us in this past year. For most, if not all of us, it has been a year that has been filled with highs and lows, the joys and heartaches, and a little bit of everything in between. And God, you have been with us in every step of the way. And we pray this morning that in those opportune moments you presented and where we were in this past year faithful in sowing good seed, we pray that a rich and wonderful harvest will come about, if not already, and in all of it, you, God, would be glorified. And God, today we also pray for those opportunities that you will present in your Kairos time, for us to sow good seeds in many different fields in 2024. So we would pray today that you would heighten our awareness, that you would heighten our sensitivity to those opportune moments so that we can indeed be faithful in them. For we know that in the proper time a harvest will be reaped if we do not give up. As we talk today, lead us in a way that we could sow good seeds to dig in your word, to pursue Christ-likeness, to invest in this community. But also, God, we want to name the many other fields that we have in our lives. How would you be calling us to sow good seeds in our workplaces? How would you be inviting us to sow good seeds in our schools? God, how would you be calling us to sow good seeds in our neighborhoods, in our marriages, in our friendships? How would you be calling us as staff and leaders here at Westview to sow seeds here? How would you be inviting us to sow seeds in whatever field you have planted us? Show us those opportunities, God, as well, where we can sow good seeds in our local community. How we can help those in need, how we can be advocates, how we can be a voice for those without a voice. Show us, God, how we can sow seeds in our world to be agents of reconciliation, to pray and to pursue peace, to be salt and light, and to witness Jesus anywhere and everywhere. The opportunities are indeed limitless, God, so show us the way, lead us and guide us. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us hearts that are sensitive to the ways in which you are calling us to sow that good seed. And fill us with the enduring strength and power of the Holy Spirit so that we indeed will not grow weary. Lord, as well this morning, would you hear our prayer for health and for healing, for reconciliation and for wholeness, for safety and for comfort, for provision, for peace. And God, for your infinite wisdom that knows our every need, your unconditional compassion that cares for us, and God, for your limitless power that can meet our every need according to your perfect plan, for all of this we give you our thanks and our praise. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.